This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back across the pond for episode 6 officially of the Special Relations Podcast. 7, 8, 9 or 10, depending on how many extra episodes we do between now and this going out. Joining me tonight are my usual co-hosts. First of all, we've got the Sergeant Slaughter of the British supermarket industry. He's on the front line and doing a fantastic turn for the country, and I thank him very much for that. It is Ben Locke. Ben, how are you?
Oh, you, stop it, stop it. Yes, I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad, not too bad.
Good.
And in these lockdown times, it could be a hell of a lot worse.
You know, I will never underestimate a sofa day ever again.
I know, like, you get one last week, and it felt to me like it was the first you had in about a week and a half, so God knows what it was like for you.
Well, I've been off today, so I've done a few little bits today around the house. Ironically, been shopping because you don't always get everything you need from your own place. But yeah, I'm okay. You know, there's plenty more people worse off than I am, so you know, I'm doing fine.
Well, you're doing a fine job.
Thank you.
Also joining me at this time is podcasting legend and the host of a new upcoming show on Place to Be Nation Wrestling. It's Mr. Rory McNamara. Rory, how are you?
I'm all right, and I'm not going to be as modest as Mr. Ben Locke. If anything, you undersold me there, Callum, okay? Use the copy I send you. Come on.
Well, your check didn't arrive. I think it's got something to do with postmen might not be key workers at the time, so... Once that cashes, then you'll get your proper introduction.
I knew I should have sent it under Royal Mail 24. Would have taken 4 days then. I'm here 4 days. Good evening, everybody.
And for the first time ever, we have a guest gracing us with their presence. What would a show on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed be without the purveyor of the Jenny position, the Queen of Obscene herself, the Medusa to this here Dangerous Alliance, Jennifer Smith. Jenny, how are you?
I'm doing okay. When you said legend of podcasting, I thought that was my intro, but you know, you threw it to Rory, so.
This is why you should have used mine, Callum. Jenny was not going to let that go.
Thank you, guys. I'm honored to be the first guest here on Accent Pod, so I'm throwing my accent in as well.
That's wonderful to have you. Thanks for taking time out of your -5 hours afternoon to be with us.
Oh yeah, you know, I got nothing else to do, so this is life now.
I know, it's a running joke. What are you doing today? Well, I'll probably just stay in.
Yeah,
I got nothing else to do. So we have an action-packed, a fun-packed show coming at you just now. I'll hand you over to our Dusty Rhodes, Ben Locke. He is our resident booker. He formats all the shows. So, Ben, what is coming up for the good people this evening, or this afternoon, or this morning, whenever they're going to listen?
That makes me sound... That's going to give me a proper big head, boys. So thank you for that, Callum. That's really... I like that.
Sorry to interrupt you. So I've called you Dusty Rhodes. I've called Jenny all her Place to Be Nation nicknames. I've called Rory a legend. I'm just Callum. So I'm just going to put that out there. If you want to throw anything right. my way, you know, I'm not immune. Thanks so much.
We'll keep you.
It's a just in capital letters. There you go.
So we're going to try, and the key word in that is try, keep things as sort of light-hearted as possible. Mm-hmm. The happy place seemed to work quite well last time. So Jenny has very kindly agreed to enter the happy place today, so that will be coming up later. Our favorite things is also back, and because Jenny's on the show today, we are going to be doing a bit of a hybrid between the WWE and a certain Netflix programming that I know me and Jenny both love, but I don't know about you two.
Well, I've not watched a lot of Netflix recently, bar anything really. How I Met Your Mother rewatches because what the hell else am I going to watch?
It's not How I Met Your Mother.
I'm a Disney Plus man now anyway, Ben. You should know that.
Well, I too have started on the old Disney Plus journey. So Mandalorian, yes, gets all the stars.
Yes.
But the show we are talking about is not How I Met Your Mother, and it's not even Tiger King, which I know me and Jenny both adore, but and that will probably come into conversation at some point. The show we are talking about is Love is Blind. So what we're going to do is we're going to sort of say, would any current WWE couple make it through the Love is Blind process? The whole meeting, dating, going on the holiday, living together, and then getting married in a month. And I'm going to throw it open to the floor because I've got my views, and I don't think love would be blossoming all the way through. Let's put it that way.
Question: how much digging did you have to do for this one, Benjamin?
What do you mean digging?
You're going to be talking about WWE couples, right? And looking at the list you furnished us with beforehand, one or two there, or indeed most of them, that took me by surprise. Did you call in a few favours, maybe?
No. They were. It was. Honest to God, it was just couples that I know exist. So that is literally my rationale for it.
Okay, good a reason as any.
Yes.
So you want to know if these current couples would end up with each other on the show?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, you can't talk couples without going to Triple H and Stephanie. I could see them making a match in the pods because they seem to fit each other very well. They're both very extra. And I just think they would hit it off. I really do.
How soon do you think the fact that Steph's got a bit of money behind her, how soon do you think that conversation would happen?
I think he could probably tell that pretty quickly, just in conversation with her. So, yeah, but you know, you're not supposed to worry about stuff like that in the pods.
You're not supposed to, but I think that does come into things.
Who else do you think would make it through?
I reckon Bianca Belair and Montez Ford would definitely make it.
I like them.
Both, you know, from an ethnicity and an athletic and, you know, all round hobby, you know, however you want. They just seem to fit as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And they dovetail beautifully as a couple. You don't look at them and go, nah, I can't see them two together. They're not one of them couples.
They don't flaunt it, kind of like a Charlotte and Andrade, which they're very upfront with each other and their relationship in there.
They are.
Yeah.
They would be the Jessica and Mark of this.
No,
of this
come
group,
on.
I think. Oh, come on, Charlotte would be like, oh, I don't know if I could be with him, and you know, then it'd be like.
I'm deeply offended that you have compared Jessica and Charlotte. This is not
going to
work.
I noticed my two colleagues have gone very quiet.
They're lost.
Have you lost your voice?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm light years outside my comfort zone here. You just knock yourselves out, you two. We'll be here if you need us.
No. I think we've beat this dead horse.
Come on. Come on.
This is segment one.
The only part of Love is Blind I've seen is the one bit they showed on Gogglebox, which Ben and Rory will we'll get it. Gogglebox is basically a TV show where you watch people watching television. It sounds awful, but it's actually really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But they were watching it, and I saw one of the guys where he was up at the altar, and she said, "I do," and he turned round and said, "No."
Mm-hmm.
That was hilarious.
There's a fair bit of that.
That would be that. I reckon that would be Charlotte and Andrade. Just she's like, "Oh yeah, here we go. I do."
Yeah.
And then Ric Flair's in the back going, like, wooing himself into a heart attack, and Andrade's going, "Do you know what? Nah." Nah.
Could you imagine that though, when he's got to meet Ric Flair for the first time?
Yeah, yeah.
That whole conversation. Yeah, my daddy's a little eccentric.
He's like, I fucking know who Ric Flair is, shit.
think of that table at Thanksgiving. So around that table, you've got Ric Flair, Charlotte, Andrade, and Conrad fucking Thompson.
Oh my god. Yes. I'm gonna hang up on any Conrad hate.
You picked the wrong company for this one, Callum, I tell you. You're
no,
brave man.
Nothing against Conrad himself. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm sure he's a lovely guy. But that is a ragtag bunch of people there.
We're all a ragtag bunch of people, are we not?
This is true.
This is very, very true.
Rogue's Gallery, I think, is a apposite description.
But 5 degrees of Ric Flair. Conrad Thompson is the brother-in-law of Andrade.
Mm.
Almost. Very strange world we live in.
Very
and
strange.
Andrade is not exactly Mr. Popular in the Flair family. I think that's fairly safe to say.
Is he not?
If you've heard the Tony podcast where Tony tries to do some mm-hmm. digging.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have not heard that one.
You know how Conrad's usually Mr. Nosy is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Conrad very quickly moves on.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
I couldn't see Corey Graves and Carmella getting together through this. That wouldn't happen.
Yeah, unless there's like an Amber and Barnett situation where they're just like fucked up in the exact right ways for each other. somehow the perfect couple.
But, well, you know, I've never seen that episode. Is it a Total Divas when she's on about Corey Graves wanting the Corey Graves dick? I've not seen that.
No, I haven't either.
I don't think that was an episode of Total Divas you were watching, Ben.
Was that just on SmackDown?
Probably.
I suppose now they're in an arena performing to no one, then, you know, they can pretty much say what they want.
Corey Graves says what he wants half the time anyway. It's never usually anything of any substance.
Mm.
Now.
He was the future once.
He was. And then he hurt his head.
He was decent on NXT. He was alright on NXT.
I've enjoyed him on NXT, if I'm being honest.
He does play that sort of brooding James Dean character mm-hmm. quite well.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Do you guys ever... Well, this is again aimed at Rory and Ben briefly. Do you ever remember that one PW promotion that brought loads of TNA guys over?
Was that the one based in Doncaster?
It was.
Then yes, I do.
Yes, he was in that. You know the guy Sterling James Keenan in that?
Yes.
Who had? Yeah, that's Corey Graves. That blew my mind. That is the same guy. That is the same guy.
The things you learn. Did not know that.
And if you were to see a picture of him, long streaky hair, looked like he needed a good wash. Now he's covered in tattoos, looks like he needs a good wash. You wouldn't know it's the same guy.
Circle of life. Wow. Amazing.
Yes, there you go.
The things you learn.
It's up there with the time that Ty Dillinger was Stan.
What,
the Shawn Michaels kicked. Remember Shawn Michaels just kicked Stan? Please don't call him wondering why. Anyway, poor puns aside.
All right, so who do we think's going to get married then? Who do we reckon would get down the aisle? Because I reckon there'd only be a couple of them. And I think Triple H and Steph would be one. And I would say Bianca Montez and Natalya and Tyson. As long as Natalya doesn't mention the cats too early, I think they'd be another. But they'd be my only three.
What do we think about Seth and Becky?
Nah, she'd have enough of Seth.
You think so?
I actually probably has already.
What do they talk about, those two?
I always thought that was very weird.
I still can't place that one, even now, you know. It's no.
Yeah, I agree.
Does not compute for me, that one. It really doesn't.
I don't think they make it either.
She's got a deeper voice than him, purely because of her accent.
She's got more balls than he does.
Oh, aye.
Last summer when they put them together on screen, I don't think I've ever seen a couple with greater anti-chemistry as them.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. There's none whatsoever. But that's why they quickly dropped it from TV, because it just was not happening.
Because she has to be all tough, you know, on TV. And I'm sure between them, you know, non-kayfabe, that it's fine. But she has to be this character. I don't buy it on TV.
I mean, it didn't help that they were facing Corbin and bloody Lacey Evans, you know, the vacuum of charisma that they are, but they just brought them down to their level and it just didn't work at all. Just no bit. It's like the whole Rusev Lashley Lana thing. That didn't work.
Don't bring that up.
I see on my list right here, Lana and Rusev.
Yes. Well, they are still together off screen, aren't they? That was just the list that my colleagues are talking about. That was just a general list to what's it our brain? Because I genuinely couldn't remember all the couples. So I think I just said 10. There's probably more.
Well, Natalya and Tyson would definitely make it through that, I think. Because I've watched a couple episodes after watching Fighting With My Family. The good lady wanted to watch some Total Divas, and we watched some of the episodes where Tyson Kidd's trying to get Natalya's sister out of the house. That is some of the funniest television that I've ever seen in my life, because he absolutely hates that woman. and when Natalya's going through dominatrix training, you seen that episode?
Dominatrix
train. Uh-huh. Yeah, so she's wanting to change her gimmick from like Hart Family to something else, and she wanted to be this dominatrix cat lady type thing. I don't know how you merge the two of them together. And she gets this dominatrix to their house, and she's asking Natalya to practice on Tyson. And he is going absolutely mental. He gets up and storms out. He's like, I'm a tag team champion. I've not been on television being spanked. being spanked. He gets in the car and drives off.
Wow, somebody liked it a little too much.
No.
Got scared.
The next scene you see, it's our mother's involved in it. It is absolutely insane. It is fantastic television. I suggest you all watch it. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that up.
I've never seen Total Divas. So...
Me either.
That is okay. No, it's pretty good.
My anti-Bella bias comes through, I think, with that.
the good lady was on a page kick after Fighting With My Family, so we're watching all of Paige's best bits on it.
And you're watching the film and the TV show as well, yeah.
What film and TV show? The Fighting With My Family.
He said, I'm watching all of Paige's best bits.
Steady now.
Oi, oi.
But sorry, I've just had an update. Not only was it a dominatrix, it was a deaf dominatrix. Just add a wee bit of intrigue into it. Honestly, it is insane.
Well, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right, aren't you?
Yeah. And then you get the episode where Big E comes, and next thing you know, he's in their hot tub. It's just Total Divas is underrated. I tell you, it's underrated entertainment.
I've just slotted it ahead of The Sopranos in my watch list. So.
I think you should. It's above The Sopranos, below How I Met Your Mother, clearly.
How many episodes of How I Met Your Mother have you got through exactly?
This time through, I'm halfway through season two, so about 30.
I love that show.
No, I like that show as well. I know I'm ragging on it, but I do like it.
There's a definite bit where it falls off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, before that, it's good stuff.
It is good.
Okay, so we've decided on three couples out of however many. That's a good ratio. I'm happy with.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
We're quite good at coupling and pairing people together. You see, this is a quality service we are providing for the mm-hmm. for the nation. I think we can move on now. I think we've done our Scylla Black bit. That reference will be lost on Jenny, but we've done our bit now.
It's Blind Date. Is that a program in the States? It might have a different name.
Was it the dating game? Or something like that?
There was something called The Dating Game.
It might be that. In the same way that Family Fortunes over here is called Family Feud in the States, it might be the same sort of thing.
Why are y'all so backwards over there?
Left is right over here and all that.
Up is down.
All of our words have random U's in them.
So weird. Biscuits or cookies? What are we doing?
You brought that one up, Jenny.
You two weren't around for that when I had to defend that.
You're on your Ben. You should have got us out of bed for that one. I tell you, with you in the trenches on that one.
All right, I think the Love is Blind chat is done because there's only really two of us who could talk about it, and there's four on this call.
Yeah.
For the record, Family Feud predates Family Fortunes by 4 years, so there you go. You win, Jenny.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but it didn't have Les Dennis.
Yeah, but we have Steve Harvey.
That is true.
Nobody's ever said it like that, but that's how I'm in it.
The people at, was it Miss World won't be saying that? Was it him that said the wrong name at the end of Miss World? Or Miss America?
Oh, yes.
He awarded it to the wrong person and then had to hastily backtrack.
Like a fucking idiot. How do you screw that up?
You literally have one job.
Because he's like, wait. What I had meant to say was the other one. Just like, oh my God. I watched that live. I was freaking the fuck out.
Do you know who should freak out? His wife. Because he clearly thought the other one was prettier.
Yeah.
So he's got it written down in front of him. Miss California is the winner. And goes, no, it's Miss fucking Idaho. She's the winner in my eyes.
Fucking Idaho.
Mrs. Harvey should have been having a stern word with him when he got in that night.
Mrs. Harvey probably got bigger problems. Being honest.
The dating game began in 1965. However, Blind Date is also an American program. Started in, I've just lost the year, 1949.
What?
Blind Date started in the US in 1949.
So we win again.
You win again.
Well, there'll be a concept we'll think of that we did first and later, probably.
Like music didn't really start to the Beatles.
That is true.
So
alright, I'll give you that.
Alright, so I think we move on to the next part now.
Okay, well you're the booker. You tell us to go home.
Sorry, Jen, this is our usual organisation shining through here.
Oh, honey, you're talking to me. You know I don't know nothing about organisation.
All right, so next we are going to be doing our favourite things, which worked quite well last time. We wanted this one to be... We were planning to do this episode around WrestleMania, which is the whole reason we got Jenny on in the first place. Obviously, things have changed and life has changed now, but we decided to keep this segment in. So we are going to be doing our favourite WrestleManias that are underrated and are not WrestleMania 19. Because... everybody, when they think of an underrated WrestleMania, always goes for WrestleMania 19. So that was the only proviso. You couldn't pick 19.
Plus the fact I don't think 19 is really underrated these days, is it? It's one or two. And if you're somebody we know quite well, it's number one with a bullet, Mr. Kidd. Hello, if you're listening.
I was going to say, yeah, there's someone that doesn't underrate it at all.
Yeah, there's somebody we all know who would, yes, very much put it number one and everything else would be about four or five on the list.
I think it's very properly rated, and rightly so.
Yes. That's in our community. I think to the general public, though, I think it might be slightly different. Maybe.
I think it would come in at number two from most people. Anyway, I think you're right to exclude it here.
But maybe that's yes. underrated for some people. It should be number one.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows?
Exactly.
Especially if you're Sean Kidd. It should definitely be number one.
We were not going to mention the person.
Right.
So I don't know how we get this. Is your idea, so you should start us off, I think, on this one.
Oh, thank you. I was going to say, start us off?
As I kicked us off last time when it was... Whoever's idea it is kicks us off. I did it with the DVDs last time, so take the floor, sir.
Okay, so I'm going to take us back to 1992. I'm going to take us back to WrestleMania 8. I would say everybody would consider this to be a good WrestleMania. I consider it to be a great WrestleMania. It is one of those, and I think it's probably the best example of WrestleMania where the whole is better than the sum of its parts. You look at the match list and you're like, eh. But in the GWW project, it had two matches that made my top 100, which was the Ric Flair Randy Savage match and the Roddy Piper Bret Hart match. I honestly thought I was going to be the high vote of us three when it came to the Piper Hart match. I ended up being the low vote, which I was delighted about. It was quite a lovely moment. We talked about those matches before. They're still great. They're still awesome. Go round and watch them if you haven't watched them for a while. I'll mention a few other things on this show. Number one, you have at the start, the baby steps, if you will, of Shawn Michaels' singles run. Him and Tito Santana have a quintessential WrestleMania open. About 10 minutes, doesn't overstay its welcome. It's not too flashy, but it does the job perfectly, what they're meant to do. The next match is the 80s Phenom heel face. Handing over to the 90s Phenom heel face. It's Jake Roberts' last match, and The Undertaker not just beats him, he squashes him, and it's actually beautiful to watch. What else have we got on here? So we've got the two matches. The eight-man tag is perfectly serviceable. The tag team title match is perfectly serviceable. I quite like the Tatanka-Rick Martel match as well. And then, of course, you've got the main event. It's Hogan versus a big guy. What are you expecting? But again, still does its job. It runs it. I had a look earlier on it. It runs at 2 hours, 40 minutes, the whole thing. And it just flies by. Absolutely fantastic show. I haven't even mentioned Bobby and Gorilla on commentary yet. The You're a Liar conversation is probably my favorite thing ever. Them to have done, and that is even including the Rumble. So yeah, if you haven't watched it for a while, I recommend you do so. WrestleMania 8, I would put it in my top five of my WrestleManias. Like I say, I think everybody will have it as good. I will have it as great, and that is why I think it is underrated.
I've got three words for you. Put them up. It's an underrated mania?
Why do I think, like I say, I think it's one of them where everybody will think it's good. I think it'll be in everybody's sort of around the top 10, top 15. For me, when I did my rankings, I put it at number four. So I put it in, I know. I've got it in that great echelon. And I said it in the last podcast about 94 WCW being like chicken soup for the soul. For me, this is the WWF equivalent. I could watch 92 WWF all day.
Yeah, there's an idea for a feature going forward.
That's that's
a good idea.
But you know what I'm saying, though?
I am.
Even nothing overstays its welcome. So even the bad stuff is only, say, 2-3 minutes. What's the worst match on this show? Probably the tag title match, if you're being honest. And even that's not, you know, it's not terrible. It's not offensive. And it's only about 5-10 minutes.
You get Ray Combs doing the introductions and yet another Family Feud reference today.
I quite like Ray Combs, to be fair.
Turned up again at Survivor Series 93 and shot himself a few months later.
There you go. I thought we were meant to be light and happy today. I thought we were meant to be light and happy today.
I'll just bring the facts on these programs. I love 8. I watched it myself a few days ago when I was working from home. It's a sharp 2 hours 40. You've got those two big matches. Everything else works as at least a supporting feature. It's an important show in other regards as well. You've got Paul Lettering. Okay, maybe not Paul Lettering. You've got the Lex Luger interview.
He's full on total package, isn't he? They've not like benched him yet at that stage.
And he manages to drink that glass of milk without spilling a drop. It is a skill. I've tried. And did you even mention the Warriors showing up at the end, or somebody for the open mid, somebody wearing Warriors costume? It was him, everybody. It wasn't Kerry Von Erich. Okay.
He just had a haircut, everyone.
It's allowed, he's allowed. On the True Story of WrestleMania DVD, here I go, DVDs again. Hi, Justin. When they talk about 8, I think it's Gene they're interviewing, he calls WrestleMania 8 a so-so WrestleMania. Do you think one of the reasons that's a pervading viewpoint, and maybe it is so underrated, is everybody expected / wanted to get Hogan v Flair at this one?
I think everybody did want that. I wanted that. So I can't, you know, that's another conversation for another time why we didn't get that match. But I think people should just, well, not disregard that opinion, but almost be just like I say, it's one of those cards where the whole of it is better than the sum of its parts. So yeah, it probably shouldn't work as a card, but it does. And sometimes you can't explain why it does. So you have, like you just said, you have them two great matches, and you've got two or three matches underneath that that are a great support in that. Like I say, that Tatanka Martel, Tito, Sean, and Jake Taker matches should not be sniffed at.
It's such a well-paced show from start to finish as well, yeah. About 2:40. Yeah. Yeah. So like I always say, the peaks and valleys of a pro wrestling show are very important when you're putting one together. This one hits it in a... And when I've talked way too much about this. I'll let everyone else come in at a moment. When Savage wins the title, that call from Howard, and once again, World Wrestling Federation champ. There's the goosebumps.
It's the whole thing with that match, isn't it? Like, and the after bit where Flair, Perfect, and Bobby all ignore the cheating that's been going on throughout the match. Well, because Savage did it once, that's enough for a rematch. And I love it. I just love it. And like I say, I know I've mentioned it once already, but that whole you're a liar conversation, that cracks me up, along with Ariba McIntyre, which I forgot to mention, Ariba McIntyre being Tito's sister, cracks me up every time.
And it's the last stadium show they put on until WrestleMania 17.
Yeah.
Nothing else. So you've got that aesthetic as well, that it's in a dome, and then they go outside into a car park.
Yeah.
And then which itself is, you know, it's a thing. Then they go to Madison Square Garden, and then you really notice that it's an arena where they would normally hold a house show for a living. And you kind of tanks at that point.
I think it's one of the reasons why I like 92 so much. It's sort of that last vestige of the 80s and early, you know, and that very early 90s WWF, you know, the golden era, however you want to quote it, before it goes into the new generation. So they've got the stars, but they've also got the colour, and then you've also got the newer stars pushing their way through as well.
Yeah, you've got your Shawns, you've got your Bretts, you've got your Owen having that epic 1:36 match before the main event.
Main events anywhere in the country.
I tell you.
But like I say, it's just, like Rory says, it's just a perfectly paced show. That's what I love about it. You know, in an era now where we moan and moan and moan about the length of the show, this is like 2:40 and it's perfect.
Well, certainly I've seen the Shawn match, I've seen the Undertaker match, I've seen Bret. I've not seen the whole show in its entirety, but if it's 2 minutes 40,
really?
Yeah, if it's 2 minutes 40, then
not 2 minutes 40, 2 hours 40.
2 hours 40. You know? So I was still thinking of Owen Hart against Skinner there. If it's 2 hours 40, then you can stick it on in the background and it'll be
yeah.
It's better than, you know, How I Met Your Mother.
Well, I don't know if I could go that far. I do like How I Met. Yeah, so there we go. That's my case.
Perfect. So shall we move on then?
Mm-hmm.
I believe somebody has picked the following year. Is that the case?
I believe somebody has.
Have we got another card carrying member of the hashtag 9isFine community?
I think I'm looking forward to this.
I'm assuming y'all are talking about me. I don't know who else would have picked this shit show.
Don't talk it down now, Jenny. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's all yours, yeah. Jenny.
I don't have the. It's funny for me to pick like the you know, underrated this or that, because I don't know. Like, I don't know what the general consensus is of how people feel about any WrestleMania except for the ones I've been to. So I'm like, I don't know, you know, but it just so happened that I watched the March to WrestleMania 9 for another one of my shows. And I was like, you know what? I really enjoyed this. I'm like, I'm going to watch WrestleMania 9. So then I put on WrestleMania 9 and I'm like, this shit is fun. And then I'm asking, like, what? How people usually feel about the show? Like, people usually don't like this show. Like, okay. Well, it's underrated then, because I thought it was really fun. It's from Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, or Paradise, Nevada. And, you know, it was so spectacly. It was outside. It was well lit and bright. Everybody was in their gimmicks right there. It was just full on, like, there was a fucking elephant there. Everybody was in togas, and it was just a visual feast, a feast for the eyes. So I really bought into the whole aesthetic of the show, and then I got to see cool stuff like Undertaker and Giant Gonzalez. I got to see Mr. Perfect have a fun match, which he's a new favorite of mine, so I always like to watch those. And, you know, before the bullshit that happened between Bret and Yokozuna, the match between Bret and Yokozuna was pretty damn good. And then the Hulk Hogan happened. So, I don't know. I know it's not right. I mean, it's not the correct answer, but I enjoyed watching this show. And am I wrong? How do y'all feel about WrestleMania 9?
I don't think you're wrong at all, Jenny.
Really?
No. I don't think it's the worst show in the world. Like everyone says it is. There's certainly been worse WrestleMania's before.
I don't think it would make my bottom five. I really don't.
I think given what's happened in recent years, it might make it out of my bottom five, to be fair, thinking about it.
Because it is memorable in a way that,
yes.
I'd like to pick one out, WrestleMania 34 isn't, you know? I could have picked any WrestleMania after 30. I just happened to pick 34.
I can think of a lot that are worse. So 32 is rubbish. 27 is rubbish. 2 is utter shite.
2 is like
how do you really feel?
11 isn't fantastic, and 15, as much as I've got a soft spot for it, I will happily tell you I enjoy it for nostalgia purposes, but it's not a good show. So I think 9 is I think it's not unreasonable to think that Nine's an underrated show at all, no?
Do most people have it like kind of low on their list?
Yes, basically. This has been like for many years. WrestleMania 9 is an instant choice for like worst WrestleMania of all time.
Great,
and I've been leading the charge to try to convince people that it's there are definitely even before the Marathon Manias came along, that there are worse ones out there. And I think Callum has put it on the line there pretty eloquently.
Rory created his own hashtag and everything for it.
Taking the world by storm, 9 is fine.
I will put this one out there. Is it a bad show because is it people's worst because it's a bad show, or is it people's worst because it's got the Hogan 22-second spank right at the end?
And that's something I would never even remotely attempt to make a case for. Okay.
No.
Hated it first time I saw it. Hate it now. But I do think it colours people's judgment.
I think so too. A really fun Shawn Michaels match in there too.
That's a good match for you to take.
Yeah, I really like that match.
And Steiner's Head Shrinkers is a good match as well.
If you like guys
lumps out each other.
That's gonna be the best match on that show. That's all it's really missing is that one really good match.
Mm-hmm.
It's got plenty of like. And this might sound disparaging, I don't mean it to. It's got plenty of average that are leading up to good. There's only a couple of things that are outright bad on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Gonzalez Taker, for example.
Right, or, well, Doink and Crush.
No, I don't mind that.
I kind of didn't either, really. I kind of have a soft spot right. for Crush. I saw Crush's promo where he went scuba diving in the middle of a promo and kind of like really endeared him to me. So
the colors give me a bit of a headache, but apart from that, I'm all right with that match.
Yeah, it's very bright.
The issue there was it didn't lead anywhere really. That was the only problem I had with it.
Because it was an illusion, that's why.
Of course.
And the biggest travesty in this show is the fact that Money Inc. and Beefcake and Hogan went 18 minutes and deprived us of Kamala versus Bam Bam Bigelow.
The only good thing about that one is
Matt Classic.
Jimmy Hart turning his coat inside out, which just happens to have black and white stripes on the inside as if it were a referee shirt. What are the chances?
Well, you never know when you need it.
Exactly. It's like Mick Foley. You remember when he would randomly just turn up in his spray painted referee gear? You never know when that will come in handy.
I agree.
And Brett Yoko is a good match as well, as Jenny has rightly mentioned. Brett works an extremely smart match there. Of course he does. He's Bret Hart. If you read Brett's book, you'll know it was supposed to be a bit longer than it was, but Yoko kept just cutting off Brett's comebacks ahead of time, which is why the match only clocks in at about 9:20 or something.
Yeah, it's an easy two and a half, maybe 3-star match if you're feeling generous.
It's better than the 10 match, I think.
Yes.
And I'm the biggest WrestleMania 10 apologist, fan, whatever there will be. I think the main event is better at 9 than it is at 10.
Yeah, I know, I'd agree with that.
Is this not the match where JR says that these two have been going for 25 minutes?
Yes.
The match is only 8 minutes long. I mean, I know it might not have been the best, but it didn't feel that long.
I can't believe we've got this far into the conversation without mentioning JR in the toga. We've done very well there.
I'd rather not think of JR in a toga.
And who is the other guy? Is it Pettengill?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's up there and he's for some reason decided he's going to talk to these Japanese cameramen while they're trying to take pictures. And I was howling. I was like, this is so awkward, but I love it. That's just my taste.
They try to do that interview with Natalie Cole and she hasn't got a Scooby what's going on.
Yes.
It's so funny. No. Natalie Cole, are you having a good time? Yeah, fine. She actually says that. But I suppose when you think about it, Anthony and Cleopatra are pretty good gets as far as celebrities go.
Well, yeah.
I mean, nigh on impossible before that.
Yeah. Who rode out backwards? Was it Bobby? Bobby riding out Bobby. Backwards? Yeah. Such on the fucking elephant. Oh, Jesus. I mean, good Lord.
If you ever watch the thingy, if you, I think, is it the true story of WrestleMania? I think it's on the network. If you ever watch that, Bobby's not acting there. Because he comes in from behind that curtain from miles back, backwards on this thing, and he is actually genuinely petrified that he's going to fall off.
He looked like it.
But you see Vince McMahon in the back trying to, you know, explain what's to happen to this elephant. Just let him go.
When Vince McMahon tells you you're going to ride an elephant, goddammit, you're going to ride an elephant.
You're going to ride it, pal.
Bobby, get on that goddamn elephant.
Amazing. Well, I'm glad Rory agrees, because later on he and I will probably disagree.
Yeah, let's get the goodwill out of the way first, shall we, Jenny, before the gloves come off.
We'll fight later.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. But yes, everybody, 9 is fine.
Hashtag 9 is halfway decent.
9 is okay.
We've got you to okay, Ben. I'll take that.
Yeah. So that was a lot better than where I was 6 months ago, wasn't it?
There you go.
So, shall I go next then, Rory? Because I think my next one would be chronological.
Yep, let's keep it on the chronological timeline, and off you go then, Callum.
Okay, so my underrated WrestleMania is WrestleMania 14.
Love that show.
So, I think there's not a lot on here that you would say is excellent. It's certainly passable, but it's certainly the clearly the dawn of a new era with the main event when Stone Cold wins the belt. You've got Mike Tyson knocking Shawn Michaels out, which Mike Tyson living out many people's fantasies, both behind the scenes and in the crowd. Undertaker and Kane is fantastic for a big man match. You've got Undertaker diving over the ropes and killing himself on the table. You've got Terry Funk killing himself in a dumpster match. Your top three matches there are fantastic for all different reasons. Shawn Michaels put on a better match than he had any right to do, considering his back was in pieces. He had a fun light heavyweight title match for all it was on. Triple H own, you know, all right. The mixed tag match is better than it should have been. And then you've got Rock and Ken Shamrock, who always had good matches despite the minimal time that they got. So I think it's probably middle of the road looking at it now, considering we've had 35 now. But it's certainly, I don't think it gets the praise that it somewhat deserves.
14 is such an important WrestleMania. It opens the floodgates. If you take this, take two things, this WrestleMania and what happens the Raw after WrestleMania 14, where we really start kicking into Austin versus McMahon super top gear. You take those two together and that's all of 98 and a fair chunk of 99. The Attitude Era, you might call it. Certainly the first half of it is right there in those 4 hours and 30 minutes, if you weld the two together. There's no great match on 14, make no mistake, but it's an event I can throw on any time. Part of it is nostalgia, because I was just locked in as a fan at this point. I was 15 years old and pure target audience. Just feed me more of this, to coin a phrase. But it has aged much, much better than the Russo-rific WrestleMania 15 did. I'm sure we'll all agree with that. The mixed tag is fun. Undertaker Kane isn't much from in-ring, but the story of that match manages to hold all the way through. Now, it's the only time, any time before or since, have you seen Undertaker try to hook the leg on a pinfall attempt? The only way he could beat Kane. And even then, Kane kicked out after 3.1. It's just great storytelling. What else have you got? You've got Jennifer Flowers, of course. The Rock just beginning to kick things into gear there himself. Yeah, it's a great show, 14.
It's another one, much like 8, where the whole again is better than the sum of its parts, isn't it? You should be loving Undertaker versus Kane at any time, but here I would say it's their best match, but you know, and I know that's not, that might sound like damning with faint praise, but that is such a good big man match, like you say. I go back to, like I said about WrestleMania 9, it does have that good to great match in it with Michaels and Austin. I love the mixed tag. That mixed tag might be one of my favorite matches of all time, honestly. Just one of them you could just put on, you know, all the time, and you know, for those 10 minutes. And I'm no lover of Mark Merrow at that point, but it's brilliant. The Battle Royal works. The Triple H and Owen, for what it is, that's okay. The tag title match is great. Yeah, again, like Rory says, you can just throw it on. Love that show. Love that show.
Yeah, as you say, Ben, some of its parts type of show. There's nothing. There's nothing great on it, but there's nothing outright awful on it either. It's all good to great. On it, Undertaker Kane, 2-star match, 5-star package. Another one of those. But no, I could watch this. I could watch this anytime. You'd never have to force me to watch this.
Dubs the match too. If that's what it takes for the greatest pro wrestler of all time, Terry Funk, of course, to win a WWF title belt, then so be it.
And of course, we've not even mentioned the greatest bit of this show, which I will quantify in 3 words. I can't do the accent, so I'm not even going to try, but I will try and do it in 3 words. How about it?
Not bad. Not bad.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ah, dear old Pete Rose. Perhaps unsurprisingly, this was the first time I'd ever heard of Pete Rose. I'm sure it's the same
thing. He plays rounders, doesn't he? Yeah.
Don't stop. You tried that in one of the chats a couple of weeks ago, Ben. And yes. You were backpedaling fast on that one, so I wouldn't put it out there now. You've just got to hope I'm going to cut it. I won't.
Pete Rose was such a trooper, wasn't he? What a guy.
Oh, yeah. That's another great sport for just saying, ah, oh, fuck it, let's do it. And let's do it again. And let's do it again.
What age is he now? Let's have a look. Sorry, Ben, sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. I'll say, you keep giving me the money, I'll do whatever you want.
So that's what she said.
Right, so he's 78, so surely, considering like Lou Thesz was 78 when he retired, surely Pete Rose can come back like next year, God willing, you know, and take another tombstone.
The Special Relations Podcast, the only place you will hear Lou Thesz and Pete Rose mentioned in the same sentence.
We are starting the we want a 78-year-old man take a tombstone campaign.
Hashtag bring back Pete Rose.
Definitely the only podcast calling for that.
WrestleMania 37, let's make it happen, kids.
If you tell Pete Rose he could bet on it, then he'd probably come up.
Very good.
There you go. That's all I know about Pete Rose. Was he was a baseball player and he had some betting issues. I don't know. He's like match fixing or betting or something. Somebody will tell me. However, he's still a legend. Still want him back for WrestleMania 37. We've never had the blow off. Kane versus Pete Rose has never happened. Next year is the time for it to happen. Let's do it. I'm starting the movement.
Book it now.
Exactly.
I'm on your side, worse. Callum.
He's booked worse. Let's do it. what are we on just now? 36?
Yeah.
So 78 for 36. 79 for 30. Oh, no, he's a year out. I was going to say 39 is fine for Pete Rose to come back for his 80th birthday, but he'd be 81 at the time. So it's not really going to work. Hey, he's in his 70s. I'd let him do it in his 70s as soon as he gets in his 80s now. That's just inhumane, isn't it? Anyway, fantasy booking aside, yeah, does anyone else have any more comments on 14?
No. Good, but I think 14 is if you got everybody to rank all their manias and you compiled a composite list, I think 14 would probably finish right in the middle, because you're going to be torn between your work rate fans and your story fans.
Yes.
I think that's probably where it would end up, but I'd definitely have it higher up myself.
14 would probably end up about number 14, wouldn't it, on the list?
Yeah, it's knocking on the door of the top 10. It's so well put together.
That's probably a fair estimation, yeah.
Great example of the time period in the way that WrestleMania 15 just wasn't.
So is your WrestleMania a good representation of the time period, Rory?
Seamless, like, I like that.
That's what we in the biz call a segue.
Seamless. Probably not, because... okay. No, I don't milk it. Probably not, because... maybe you should make
I thought y'all were supposed to be polite. What is happening?
No.
We're being polite here, Jenny. This is just our best behaviour.
Yeah.
Andy Atherton would not have us on a podcast if he heard how we talked in real life.
Well, look. See, he'll just cut you out. I mean, you could do the podcast and then he'll just edit it. That's how we roll, anyway.
I made it onto one of his podcasts last week. We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Just don't say cunt. He really doesn't like that word.
Can't use cunt.
Nope.
Well, see, that's just like, that just means person where I'm from.
I've always hated the stigma around that word.
Just like if Andy was to walk through Glasgow, he'd be horrified. At the flippant usage of that word. It's just like, Roddy, you like the wrestling, aye, that Roddy Piper, he was a good cunt, wasn't he, aye? that's what it's like. Horrified.
Andy in Glasgow is a thing that has to happen.
Yeah. I've paid my money.
Andy, if you ever want to do it and listen to that word being used so liberally, just let me know and I'll make sure you hear it copious times. Or I'll know where to go to avoid it. There's many posh parts. Apparently, I've never been. Anyway. Yeah, cunting aside.
You're thinking up all of Rory's time here.
I know. No, Rory can have as much time as he wants. He's a podcast legend, after all.
Oh, there yeah. Yeah,
good
yeah.
say. Exactly. Good say. Go. I was going to say that apparent segue seems a very long time ago, but.
Yeah, it does. Sorry.
So then. No, eventually...
Right. Do you want another one? Rory's picked a cunting good WrestleMania.
There she rides. Okay, so eventually my choice for underrated WrestleMania, one I think definitely deserves reappraisal and a bit more love, comes from a time period which is seen, not unreasonably, as a rather fallow one. Certainly the latter half of the year, although I don't think the first half of it is many great shakes either, although this does give the lie to that, and that is WrestleMania 22. From the All State Arena in Rosemont, Illinois. To jump on a point Callum made earlier, this is the final WrestleMania, I believe, that did not take place in a stadium. That is correct?
That is correct, yes.
And I think when you fire it up these days, I mean, it's basically 14 years ago, but still doesn't really feel like a long time ago, although it should, especially with the speed things move these days. 14 years might as well be 14 zillion years ago, but it almost feels like yesterday in a weird way. I think it's because 2006 is the year I started picking up watching. But now with the multi-hour, multi-seater, multi-everything manias, this has a quaintness to it that I think is rather appealing. And that's even before you get to the card, which I'm just going to break down very quickly for you, match by match. You've got Big Show and Kane defeating Carlito and Chris Masters in a fun tag team championship. I like that Carlito and Masters team. The Money in the Bank ladder match won by RVD over Lashley, Finlay, Matt Hardy, Ric Flair, and of course Shelton Benjamin. Not my favourite Money in the Bank ladder match, must be said, but they keep it short at 12 minutes, and RVD a worthy winner, and he did pretty good things with it. JBL of Benoit is whatever, really. Benoit gives him a decent match. Edge versus Foley. Oh, boy. Now we really start cooking on gas, pun intended there. Much like much of Foley's arm was cooking not long after. And Edge's face as well, if you want to look at that. A match that made my top 100 and nominated one of my go-to WrestleMania matches, that one. I could fire it up for 15 minutes. Again, pun intended, fire it up and enjoy it like the sick puppy I am. Boogeyman against Booker T is fine comic relief. Mickie James defeating Trish Stratus for the Women's Championship. I think we can safely say that was the best women's match on the main roster up to that point. Good, you didn't dispute that. Fine.
I don't think that's out of the question to say that. Yeah.
I'll bring you a problem in a second, of course. Undertaker against Mark Henry in a perfectly servable casket match. The catharsis that is Michaels going over Vince in that 20-minute no-holds-barred match. It's not the Vince trash match that made my top 100 list, but it's just glorious fun. It's everything it needs to be. I mean, Vince being attacked with his own muscle and fitness front cover. I mean, come on. Then you got another one, which is oddly short, but my goodness me, do they pack a lot into it. That's Ray beating the Booze and Randy Orton and Kurt Angle to win at the World Heavyweight Championship. Just 9:19 for that one, but it whizzes past. It feels longer in the best possible way, though, if that makes any sense. It's just, again, another one of Angle's best performances there. He marshals that match so well, and Ray eventually brings the crowd round at the end. Tori Wilson defeating Candice Michelle in a Playboy pillow fight match in 3:54. That's twice as long as I needed, let's say that. And John Cena defeating Triple H by in 22:02, I believe, because I didn't go blind, so I did get to see all of that match. 22:02,
Cena. For fuck's sake.
You've been waiting all day to make that joke, friend.
Joke?
Sorry, Rory.
Why do you think this one? Why do you think this one's in my watch list on the network? But yeah, seen the Triple H. A match where I hated the build-up for this one because it was all the worst elements of Mr. Levesque here, I'm afraid to say. I mean, the build-up was Cena not being a particularly good wrestler, quote-unquote. Big moves, pumping his Reeboks. Oh, it was horrible stuff. And then Cena just nodding along like a fucking lapdog. Oh, I hated it. But this match, another one, much like 14, as good as it could have been given the circumstances. Because much of a Cena fan I am, he wasn't quite there in the ring. He's ahead of where a lot of people thought he was. So to get to an upper threes with Triple H, who was having his normal Triple H matches, still a good one, but you know what I mean. And this is where, for me, I was starting to change my opinion of Cena for the better. He handled this almost impossibly hostile situation and came through it for a better man. Let's mention the true story of WrestleMania DVD just one more time, shall we? This match is one of the bonus matches on it, and they edit the anti-Cena crowd chants. To show you how hated Cena was at the time, they actually play in Cena sucks chants over the original actual chant from the original broadcast, which was fuck you, Cena. So when they are playing in Cena sucks to try and ameliorate your position, you know you're not necessarily Mr. Popular at this time. But, the match is very good. The show is excellent. Again, all the commentary teams hold it together. The baby faces, such that they are, go over when they need to. And I include Mickie James beating Trish because she was the face in that match. It's a high point of what is a rough year for me. But it's because of that, I can watch it without any real surrounding situations. I don't need to worry about the build-up. I can just throw it on for 3.5 hours and enjoy it, which I can't say I can for so many recent Manias. But yeah, 22 is my pick here.
I forgot about John Cena's trademark pumping up of the Reeboks. Thanks for that.
Got that image in your head now.
I do. It's a slightly better image than the one that Rory put in my head for the match before.
That's
that.
True. Yeah, I was going to say.
You brought it back up.
I brought something back up, thinking about it.
Not my choice of viewing will be tonight.
This social distance is really working out for you, Mr. McNamara, isn't it?
Filling my time, obviously.
We did a thing the other night, like WrestleMania matches. Am I right in thinking, Jenny, that was the first time you'd seen Foley Edge?
Yes.
What did you think?
It was insane.
That's the one.
Yeah, no, I like that shit. So, yeah, it was pretty good.
I think I mentioned it in our GWWE rundown. You think it's bad enough that Mick Foley goes through it fully clothed back first. Edge goes through it face first topless, right at the end. What an idiot.
Entertaining, though, right?
Oh, fantastic entertainment. Yeah. I mean, it's entertaining because it's not me that's doing it.
Exactly.
Not to trivialise it, it's a fantastic match. It's superb. As is the Boogeyman versus Booker T and Charmel. What the?
That's fine. Perfectly classic. Placed on the card.
Classic.
Yeah, it's only a couple of minutes long. Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
But it is a really good, again, a very good, well-paced show. They keep the things that are meant to be short. They give the time where it's needed, don't they? Apart from the triple threat match, everything gets the time it should on that show.
Yes, I would agree with that. I mean, Vince, a lot of people said that Sean beating Vince went on a bit too long. I don't think it did. That's what it needed to be.
No, if anything,
20 minutes wasn't long enough.
It's a good jumping off point for a lot of things. So you get Rob Van Dam winning Money in the Bank. So you get One Night Stand, which is one of the best shows they've ever put on. You get Edge becoming the Rated R superstar. You get Shawn Michaels and God versus the McMahons. That's less good. it's a very, very good choice.
If WrestleMania was going to be in the proper arena, they needed to get Chimmel back for one night only to do that.
What's he doing these days?
I think he's still there, isn't he? He's just working behind the scenes.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
He's still putting up the rings, I would imagine. Or, well, he might have graduated to telling people how to put up the rings now.
He might have graduated.
Well, here's a bit of a useless Tony Chimmel fact for you. If you remember Raw and the Royal Rumble on the Sega Genesis,
I know where you're going with this.
him and Mike Chioda do all the grunting.
Do they? You get hit.
Yes, they do.
I can corroborate this story.
They do. So Tony Chimmel but he's been there since like, has he not been around since like WrestleMania 3? He's been there for fucking years.
Yeah, I'm sure you see him like milling around at probably even one of the three WrestleMania 2 venues or something like that. He's been there a long time.
He has. But that's
legend.
But WrestleMania 22 is, like Rory says, it is one of them shows again from a time period that ain't great. You can throw it on and it's a very easy watch, I think. In terms of the matches, you know, Foley Edge might not be that easy on the eye.
It's easy to watch through your fingers, that match, yeah.
I haven't even talked about the whole the Mickey Trish match bit yet.
Well, that's cut on the network.
I'm surprised Rory didn't either.
Well, yeah, true.
Cut on the network, and I don't watch these by any other means. I've got to pace myself as well.
Oh, dear God.
What are you going to do? Sit in front of the TV with an ice pack?
Did you say, and I would agree with you, probably the greatest women's match to that point?
Up to that point, I'd say it was, yeah.
To that point, yeah.
It nearly made my top 100 list, actually.
Really?
I think it's great. I really do think it's great.
Well, you're probably talking another sort of 8 years until they get to something that even approaches that.
Because Mickey was obviously a great worker, and Trish almost approached ring general status. How quickly she came on, and the level from where she was in 2000 to where she was at 2006, it's astounding. Just still deserves so much credit for that.
At that stage, am I right? She was retiring like 6 months after this, and then Mickey obviously had done a bit of indie and TNA stuff, hadn't she? But she was, you know, that was sort of only a couple of months into her WWE career at that moment in time.
Yeah, Trish retired in this September.
It was Unforgiven, yeah.
That was it.
She won the title last match in Toronto.
But was Toronto? That's right, yeah. So, but Trish was one of these people who she was brought in. She was brought in because of how she looked. She was a
fitness model or something.
But she wanted to. She didn't want to be just another pretty face in the crowd. So she was actively training when she didn't need to be. So she had that. That's probably why she came on so well, is because she was spending almost every waking hour trying to get better.
Yeah,
and that's why she is. I'm going to use the awful word, but she is one, a trailblazer.
Absolutely.
Pretty good pit, Rory. Very happy with that.
Thank you,
sir. I'll give you another useless fact as to why they picked Chicago for this one. If you've listened for the first time, you'll come to realise I do love useless facts. I've got a mind full of them. I've got a mind full of nothing useful, but useless facts. They did WrestleMania 20 at Madison Square Garden in New York. They had booked the Staples Center in Los Angeles for 21. The link between these three cities is WrestleMania 2.
There you go.
So they wanted to have WrestleMania 22 in Chicago to have their three cross country, the three big cities at every part of the country. And after that, they decided, after Chicago, they would never go back to doing an arena.
Ah.
And that's why they went on. That's why they've held it in a stadium every year since that. That is in the true story of WrestleMania as well. And that was true until this year. Unfortunately.
Let's not go into this year.
However, what's going to... I mean, we're not there in person, but we're going to have a excellent time, whatever we do, in spirit, watching it or not.
Absolutely.
We'll try.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it's watching it, because I'm going off the thought of watching it myself. But there'll be something to tell on Saturday night. I'll have a good time watching. Rory certainly will. Rory's putting on his WrestleMania 22 DVD again. Anyway, we shall move swiftly on from that thought. Excellent choices everyone. Everyone did their research, thank you very much. So I think this will probably be a good time to have a break before we come back on the other side and we'll visit the happy place once again. So as Desmond once said to Jack in Lost, we'll see you on the other side, brother.
Oh my word.
I was not expecting a Lost quote.
Do you know what? See five seconds ago, I didn't expect it either, but I Nation, we are still across the pond, we are still 5 hours ahead, and we are still talking nonsense. The happy place is coming up imminently, but first just want to go through what else is happening on the wrestling feed and the rest of Place to Be Nation world. Firstly, on the wrestling feed, where you can find us, the Place to Be Nation podcast number 545 dropped recently. JT and Scott are joined by John D'Amato and Ben Zanny to drive and to dive, excuse me, into the hottest show of the summer, SummerSlam 1990. Episode number 145 of the main event is live with Scott, Nate and Steve live streaming on Podbean and welcome several call-in guests to discuss WrestleMania 36, where one of us may have been called the wrong name.
What do you mean, Dougal?
Jake, Jenny and Tim are back with PTB NXT number 3 to cover the weekly television from February 2014. With this ring, number 6 was back with Ryan and Cindy looking at famous WrestleMania matches. Ben Zanny was dropping again on Row 1 Seat 1's newest episode, which features guest Mr. Brickster, which is a fantastic name, and Donny Janella. The Special Relations are back with episode number 5, featuring our picks, featuring picks of favourite DVD sets and the debut of the Happy Place. So we are all over this feed just now. And the Adams Division number 7, Steve Bennett and Peter Winston chose WrestleMania matches in a complicated thought exercise. Check out the Place to Be Nation pop feed with great shows that include the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Diamond Conversations, It Was a Thing on TV, The Year in Pop, Laugh in Theatre, The Great Debate and Marvel Edge. And so much more. So subscribe today. And the next bit, I would normally say to subscribe to Jennifer Smith, Jenny Position, but I will hand over to your good self, Jenny, so you can take us through that. What is coming up on your feed?
On my feed, right now you can listen to the latest episode of Geek and Sassy. We did our awards. This is the third annual Sassy Awards. So we do, like, you know, best actor in the TV, you know, best movie and all that stuff. So our own little award show. We have the latest episode of The Journey Through Infinity, Chapter 6, The Avengers. So Scott and JT and Tim and I are going through the Marvel Cinematic Universe, watching every movie and talking about it. There should be an episode of Bianca's First Time, which is where my friend Bianca watches beloved movies. And this one is Ferris Bueller's Day Off that she had never seen. So we live watch that. And speaking of live watches, there's my show, Freak Out Drive-In, with Rob Kindler. We watched The Lost Boys. So that's a good one too. Plus, you know, Talking Pops on there. The Brother Sister Rewatch podcast is on there as well. So lots of stuff on my feed.
So there you go. If there's ever a reason to subscribe, that's now's your chance. So mm-hmm. Get on it if you've not already done it. And whilst you're on your podcatcher app, and you're in the subscribing mood, check out the new North-South Connection, brought to you by our very own JT Rosero and Chad Campbell. It is the new home for Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and much more. We've also officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do your research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found on www.facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Also on our social media pages, we have the greatest sports logo of 2020 tournament going on. There will be 4 matches per day, so make sure you like the tournament page on Facebook and follow us on Twitter so you don't miss a single one. Be sure not to forget to check out placemination.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes, bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in WWE by John Crow, Polly's Perspective, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Buckler's Wednesday Walk Around the Web. And finally, if you're doing your online shopping over at Amazon.com, please be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right-hand side of Place By Nation homepage, or use placebynation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN at no cost to you. So as I go flawlessly through that once again, we will now take a visit back to the happy place. I will throw you back to our resident Dusty Road today. Ben?
Yeah, baby.
Can you enlighten the listeners?
I honestly can't do a Dusty Rhodes impression. I don't even know why I tried.
Everyone can do a Dusty Rhodes impression today.
just say bebe at the end of everything.
Yeah, Keesley throwing a daddy.
God.
If I want to say baby, though, I'm going to go full Adam Cole on you. So don't.
If you're feeling very confident, you can throw in a "he's got a bicycle."
That was great.
Sorry, I've just lost it. That
you sound like me the first time I ever saw that video. That's all time. I mean, never mind Hard Times. He Got a Bathicle is peak Dusty Rhodes.
Okay, so if you guys, I'm gonna be serious for a sec here, boys and lady. So the first time we did the Happy Place, I was the first incumbent on it. For those of you who didn't hear the last episode, this is where we either one of us three or a guest will pick their favorite items. So in this case, it is a three favorite albums of their choice, three favorite films, one book, one DVD box set, one wrestling pay-per-view, and five matches. And those five matches, we will be live watching one of them. As we have a special guest tonight, Miss Jennifer Smith will be the incumbent of the Happy Place. And I will hand it over to Jenny.
Okay, well, I guess we'll start with albums. Not sure how these are going to go over, but we'll just see. So I'm going to go with the Sound of Music soundtrack. Because that is something that, for some reason, I feel like I sound like Julie Andrews when I really don't. But it's really fun to try to sing like her. And that is something that always makes me feel better when I put on the Sound of Music soundtrack.
Have you ever been to a sing-along Sound of Music?
No, I haven't, but I would love to.
Oh, that is an experience.
I bet. I know every word on that entire soundtrack. Even the yodeling song.
I'm not going to ask you to do it, but I bet you'd be a great yodeler.
No, probably not. But it's just so happy, and every emotion is on that soundtrack. And I love the movie so much, and it's just something that's always stuck with me. I've always had a copy of it, and now it's on Spotify, so it's just it's one of my favorite things.
All together, everybody. Edelweiss.
Don't get me started.
I think we know what's going to be finishing the show with.
Yep. I'm way ahead of you.
And so the next one might be a little bit more obscure. I'm not sure if you guys will know it, but the band is called Shinedown. And the album is called Leave a Whisper in 2003, and it has songs like Fly from the Inside, A Better Version, 45, Burning Bright. All of these are just lyric, like the vocal performance by the lead singer is fucking amazing on this entire album. It's just, I know every word to all of these songs as well, and it's always an experience. Like it always makes me feel something every time I listen to this. And this is a favorite for like road trips for me. Like it's a perfect listen from beginning to end. There's not a weak song in there for me. So I adore this album so much.
I've not heard of the band, so I won't even try. And what style of music are we talking, Jen?
It's kind of like, alternative rock, maybe, kind of.
Okay.
You'll have heard of one of their songs, Ben, because I Dare You from their second album was used as a secondary theme, according to Wikipedia, for WrestleMania 22.
There we go.
Was it?
Yes, I remember hearing it on the graps for the first time. That's a good song as well. So I have heard of Shinedown.
Was it one of those ones where the JR would go to King and this great new artist and we try to like King knows who they are? One of them ones.
Not like with Saliva.
Yes.
It's like a rock sound, but then the lead singer just has like a very distinctive voice. Like, to me, reminds me of Chris Cornell, like in the distinctiveness of, ooh,
that's
of the way.
Good comparison.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm on board with that comparison.
And I debated Audioslave for this slot too, but I ended up with Shinedown.
I love Audioslave.
And so the third album that I picked was from my youth. It is one of the first like female empowerment type albums. It is called Tragic Kingdom by No Doubt. And nice. With yes. a dynamic female lead singer that was a revelation to a 13-year-old Jenny Smith or Jenny Ham in those days. yes, my maiden name was Ham. So so as a young girl, this was just like everything, because it's like breaking up with your boyfriend and so much angst and she's just belting it out. And I love every song on the albums. It's just I played it over and over and over and over again. And you know, some of that stuff, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, some of it does not hold up, but some of it is very nostalgic. And like, if you hear Spider Webs and you don't get excited, then something is wrong with you.
I'm just looking at the track list just now. If you were to point me towards somebody who says that Don't Speak is a banger, I will point you in their direction and tell you they're a liar.
Yep.
I said this to the good lady about Tell Me Why earlier on, and Don't Speak is in that same bracket.
Yeah.
Everyone likes that song.
It is, as we say, a tune. That one.
It is an absolute tune.
And Just the Girls, one of those you can put on any sort of indie disco, and the entire crowd will go apeshit for it.
Yeah. And then like one of the sleeper songs on there for me was always Sunday Morning. And it's everything about that song just screams for me.
Yeah. Gwen Stefani is a fine chanter, as my mum would say.
I want to hear that sort of Blake Shelton, Gwen Stefani duet, though. That would be the most bizarre thing.
You know, much love to her and her life choices, but miss me with Blake Shelton. But anyway. And I'm from Alabama, so.
You're not going for a bit of Blake?
No.
Okay. So next is your TV program of choice.
Okay. Now, I don't know how y'all feel about this either, but my favorite TV show of all time is Futurama. And it is an animated cartoon, and it's from the creators of The Simpsons. I find it superior to The Simpsons, which I know will probably not be a very popular opinion, but there it is. this show has such a crazy run, because it was canceled, then it was revived, and then it was canceled, then it was rebooted, then it went from Fox to Comedy Central and Netflix. It's been all over. It's never gonna die. Like, it's even like some people will be like, yeah, the first five seasons are good, and then it went to shit. I disagree with that. There are plenty of really great episodes through the end of the run. They're not all winners, but I will never, ever be tired of Futurama. I can put it on at any time, on any episode. It doesn't matter. It is the best thing of all time. Fight me.
There was some sighing I heard when you said that earlier.
Didn't we talk about Futurama in an earlier episode? Or it might have been off air, but I'm sure we've discussed it before. We've done the old Futurama Simpsons comparison.
I was always a Simpsons guy. I always thought that Futurama was always trying to You know, it didn't occur to me when
I think
it first came on.
Very different programs.
They are.
Let's give Matt Groening credit here. They're two very, very different programs. Yeah. The outright comparison is a bit of a fool's errand, really.
I was, but at the time I'm talking about, I was like 10. So I didn't quite understand that they were both made by the same people. I thought that Futurama was coming to take over for The Simpsons, and I never really took to Futurama because of it.
Well, yeah, they're different. Like, it's a sci-fi show. Like, it's for nerds, like science nerds. There's all kinds of, you know, just crazy sci-fi shit in it, and that's what I love. So.
And like Jenny says, like with all the best cartoons, there's a timeless quality to it that you can just throw an episode or two on, and you know, you suddenly that's an hour gone. And you're like, all right, might as well carry on. Then
I did it yesterday. Like, you know, if I just need something on, then I just put it on, and then I just end up getting sucked into it, like just because I know all the episodes, I know my favorite parts, and like, oh god, this scene's coming up. So then I just keep watching.
It has that quality that say a South Park doesn't, because South Park relies on a lot of current humor. So I find I can't really watch South Park now.
Right.
It's a newish episode.
So have they moved over to Disney Plus, or are they on Netflix? Or
well, Futurama's on Hulu right now.
Right.
Yep. So it was on Netflix for the longest, but it got booted.
Do we get Hulu over here?
I don't know if you get Hulu, but I know our Netflix is slightly different to the American Netflix. I don't know if it's on Netflix. I'm not saying it's on Netflix, but.
I would be very jealous if it was. I mean, I still get it, but. I do have, that's one of those that I do have rare DVDs for.
I think I've still got the first three or four seasons.
And that is the one show, like, because my son doesn't really watch TV. He did when he was a baby, but since he's, you know, gotten to where he can make his own decisions about his viewing habits, then he just doesn't watch TV or movies really. So Futurama is one thing that he has gotten into, so he can quote my favorite episode. So
what's that? Somebody's got something on in the background there.
Sorry, that was me trying to check the Futurama-ness on Netflix. Yeah,
is that the official term we're going with? I like it.
Yeah, it's not on Netflix either. Although I've just seen that new episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine have dropped, and I am over the moon.
I've been catching up on that one too.
I've never watched it. There you go. There's my thing for the night.
Yeah,
Nine-Nine.
So good.
Me and the good lady binged it over like 2 weekends. So funny.
My best mate's obsessed with it, so I know it's good. I don't think it's going to get quite the Office hate from me, but I know it's good. Okay, Jen, so now time for your three films.
Okay, this is hard. Like, this is... I love movies, so it's. I feel like when I sit down to like write my favorite movies, my mind goes blank. Like, oh my god, what is a movie? And so I kind of try to pick like my favorite genres first. Like, okay, what do I like best from this genre, that genre? What I ended up with was Endgame for my favorite superhero movie, and it, you know. Much has been said about Endgame, especially by me. It is just a wonderful film that breaks my heart every time, but I still love it. And then, of course, for comedy, I have Tommy Boy, starring Chris Farley and David Spade. I don't know. Have you guys seen Tommy Boy before?
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
I have not seen it.
Okay, so it's like a 90s, straight up 90s comedy, and David Spade and Chris Farley have amazing chemistry, and it's hilarious and heartwarming, and it's a really, really great movie. Y'all should definitely watch Tommy Boy. It's endlessly quotable, too, so like, oh my god. and then I was thinking sci-fi movies, and there are so many, you know, you could do your Star Wars or whatever. I ended up on Starship Troopers because that movie, if it's ever on, I just have to watch it. Like, and I think that's the mark of one of your favorite movies. If it, like, yeah. if you just catch it somewhere and turn it on, then you're hooked. And I can always do that with Starship Troopers. It's so campy and funny and gory and crazy, and it's just it. You know, it's very me. It's very on brand.
Endgame, I think, was the only film I've ever been to here in the UK where there was a round of applause at the end. I don't know. I know that's an American thing, but over here it doesn't happen. And it was like, I was like, oh, I found myself clapping. I was like, what are we all doing?
How could you not? I mean, I was sobbing at the end of it, but also clapping.
I was, but I won't spoil why. But I think we've discussed off air why I was crying. But
yeah.
Starship Troopers, like you say, it's just one of them films. As soon as it comes on, you're like, I could just watch this all the time.
Yep. Yeah, you're just like, okay, if you had any plans for that day, cancel that. Because you're going to be watching Starship Troopers.
It was like the other night with me. Old School was on. It was the funeral scene, and I knew I'd missed most of the movie, but I was like, "Yeah, I saw it's the last half an hour. We're good." All right. So now we're nearly at the wrestling part, but finally, just got to pick your book, Jenny. You're allowed one book for the weekend.
Okay, I'm just realizing how fucking weird all of my choices are, but whatever.
We like weird around here. You're fine.
Okay, good. This is a book by my favorite author. His name is Stephen King. You may have heard of him. He's written a couple books.
Yeah.
One or two.
So this book is from 2006. It is called Cell. I don't know if you guys have read this.
I have read it.
You have?
I have.
What did you think?
I love King. I think, yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was really good. Really good.
There's something about this movie that is just, the ending kills me every time, but I just, it's apocalyptic, kind of. It's zombies, kind of. It's a very weird take on all that, and it's very localized. You know, it's not a worldwide view of an apocalyptic event. It's very specific to this one group of people in this one area of the country. I love the characters. I love the writing. It's so descriptive, and it probably could use a ton of editing. It's overwritten for sure, but I don't care. Like, I just need it was made into a movie.
I haven't seen the movie.
It was a very disappointing movie, which does happen with Stephen King movies sometimes. But I mean, it has a good cast, but they changed it too much. So
just butchered it.
Yep. But I mean, it's a long read, but definitely worth it if you like Stephen King.
I know it's a great immersive read, which is what I love about King.
Me too. Yeah.
So what's your favorite King movie then?
See, that's hard too. Because you have things like Stand By Me, which was, you know, early days, and that was based on a short story. And then something really fucking weird that I always loved, but nobody else loved, called Dreamcatcher. and that was about aliens.
Yes.
But there are some real Stephen King misses, too, that is sad but true, like Dark Tower, which is iconic series and not iconic movie. And the series Under the Dome, which was on CBS several years ago, that I just fucking god-awful hated that series, but that book was a goddamn event in my life. Like, I was obsessed with that book. So it's all over the place when it comes to Stephen.
There's good, there's bad, there's indifferent.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay, and next we have got, what is your wrestling pay-per-view or takeover of choice?
Okay, well, it's the only pay-per-view, well, one of two that I'm allowed to pick, that is a 10 out of 10 show. And that is Takeover Portland.
Excellent choice.
I did a very drunken reaction pod about this show. Everything was so different, and I know how Rory feels about NXT. So, but every match was a little bit different. A lot of overindulgence, yes, but that's how I like my wrestling, so it's fine. I love Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne as a tag team, and I love the Undisputed Era. So their meeting here was fantastic, and then Daddy Ciampa came back after an illness, and I was just enamored of the show. Like, it's beautiful. I love it so much. Instant classic.
I don't know if you heard our last show, but Rory was live watching it as we were talking. Was it the last show or was it the show before?
It was during the last
30 to 1 in our
that. Yeah. That was it. Yeah, we nearly got you. We nearly got you round to NXT, didn't we, Ro?
Yeah, things happened in that event.
No, but yeah, you're definitely right about the Broserweights. They are my wrestling highlighter this year. I would say easy. Just for a thrown together tag team to mesh that well so quickly.
Yeah, it's amazing.
In the ring and on the mic. It just doesn't happen like that anymore.
Yep. And Riddle was one of those guys that took me a minute to get on board with him. And yeah. So it makes it even better for me. Because Pete Dunne I loved, like, from the beginning. But with Matt, it was very gradual. So just for him to win me over in his charmingly stoner way, and then just like seamlessly get into this, it was just so good.
Matt Riddle can be a funny one because he's one of these guys going, is he putting that on? And then you realize he's not. He's just a really, really likable guy.
I think so too.
I mean, Dunn just plays a straight man so perfectly.
Oh God,
what was it? Was it the World's Collide show? And they were so, Pete Dunne was doing all the puns. He goes, me and my tag team partner are going to smoke you. We're going to be riding high.
Don't be blunt, Pete.
Okay, I like stoner humor. Okay, it's fine.
Who doesn't?
Don't worry about it.
I was going to say, who doesn't?
Some people don't.
Well.
Fuck them.
We don't want to talk to them. We don't want to talk to them. Fuck them stone haters.
Yeah.
Hashtag FTSH.
Okay, so we are rapidly approaching the 5 matches of Jenny's choice. I think regular listeners to Jenny's show will know what one of them is, but explain what the other 4 are first, please, Jen.
Okay, this... At first, I thought it was going to be kind of hard because I like to drink a lot when I watch wrestling, and so that doesn't really like translate to me remembering matches or what fucking show they were on. But luckily, a couple have stood out, and one of those is not from WWE or WCW. It is from AEW, Jimmy Havoc versus Darby Allin versus Joey Janela in the 3-way Cracker Barrel Clash from All Out 2019. I was not expecting this to happen, but it did. And it was great. Give me all the Cracker Barrel food gimmicks you want in a match. It was just crazy. It was just so much fun. And I kind of miss that AEW, really, because I've been disappointed in the past 2 pay-per-views I've seen of theirs. And really, I wish we could go back to the Cracker Barrel days, have some more matches like that.
I can't remember where I said it before, but we, obviously over here, we only pay £15 for those shows. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much are they? Is it $50, $60 for you guys for those?
It was $50, yes.
You want a lot for your money for $50, especially when we live in this sort of $10 a month network era.
And I thought that AEW was, and I'm sure, I mean, they're still young, so there's more to come here, but they've seemingly, when initially I thought that they would be a very different promotion than what I'm used to, they have fallen into being just like what they're supposedly the opposite of.
I was just going to say that.
No, I was just going to say, like, the Cracker Barrel match, I thought was a glimpse into what they were going to, give me on a more regular basis, but they have scaled back from that sort of thing.
Yeah, they've become what they've set out not to be. I appreciate it's probably going to be difficult for them because this is all people have known for the best part of 20 years.
Right.
But they started off pretty ridiculous with some of the stuff. If you remember back to Fighter Fest, and they've got that hardcore match on the pre-show, and it was just a bit of a nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But they All Out and Double or Nothing were excellent, and then they've just kind of reverted to type since then.
Yep.
They're definitely falling into some bad habits. The tag title match from the last show was amazing, and I will defend that match probably till for a very, very long time. But you know the main event was so bad, and you know, MJF and Cody, for example, should have been so much more than it was. This is a blood feud. I don't want to see two guys having hammerlocks and headlocks in a blood feud. Yeah. Even if it is chapter one, you know, you can still do a hell of a lot better than that.
Orange Cassidy is still sort of in that vein of what I think is different and cool about that promotion, but you know, he's one of the few.
And I think that's why I gravitated to Orange Cassidy so much, because like you say, he is something different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily a fan of that late. I know we've just talked about stony humor, but I'm not necessarily a fan of that laid back guy, but because he is so different from everything else, it works.
Right.
And that's the same. And it's the same with that Cracker Barrel match.
Mm-hmm. It's just chaos and, you know, fun.
Yeah. Chaos is fun.
Yeah. All right, so my next one, this is probably going to get me a lot of heat too, but I recall watching this match from Survivor Series 2018 with Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey, and I called it pornographic at the time because I love Charlotte Flair and I despise Ronda Rousey, and I already knew that Charlotte was not going to win the match, and that's fine. But what happened here is that Ronda, who in my opinion is too smiley and is very powerful and trying to be a student of wrestling, but she is not as good as she thinks she is. Charlotte made her look good in this match, which is what Flairs do. And she let Ronda have her moments, but it was still very not fluid or natural for Ronda in this match. But what Charlotte did was sell for her and have this hatred for her that I felt. So Charlotte was channeling me during this match, and it just ended up being like this really awesome collision. And then Charlotte, by the end of it, well, Rhonda's bleeding from the mouth, which is great. She gets her ass kicked pretty handily. Charlotte looks like just Amazon against her. And then Charlotte just says, fuck it, at the end of the match, because she knows she wasn't going to win. She pulls out the kendo stick and fucking wails on Ronda. Like, goes absolute batshit crazy. Just caning her, put her up on the ring, get a chair, stomp her fucking head with the chair. I mean, it was just, she went places. It was dark and unnecessary, and I loved it. I was cackling. Like, it was fantastic.
I mean, the crazy thing about that was, obviously, until the week before, that match wasn't even going to happen.
Yeah. It was kind of thrown together.
So how did you feel about the whole triple threat thing? Were you okay with that, or would you have just gone Becky versus Ronda and left Charlotte out of it? Or I don't know.
No, I'm never leaving Charlotte out of any match. Like, add Charlotte to all the matches. I don't care. I'm a mark. I'm just saying, I love watching her wrestle. It is a joy to me. And yeah, I was fine. I mean, I knew, you know, what the outcome would be, but, and I was good with it. It's fine. But that Survivor Series match is just, and I watched it again today. I was like, maybe I'm overthinking this. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no, this is great. Like, I still love this. Wonderful.
No, it's a good pick. I like that.
And so my next one is one that I've talked about previously on an episode of Talking WCW. It is Ric Flair versus Vader from Starrcade 1993. What I like about this match is that all throughout the show, Ric Flair is acting like he's going to die in the ring with Vader. And Mean Gene has to go to his house and get him in the fucking limo and get into the show. So great. Ric Flair is wonderful on this match, and Vader is just big and ugly, gross, and blah, just Vadering all over the place. I never get tired of it.
Flair takes such a kicking in that match.
Oh my god,
he keeps coming back for more.
Just keeps going.
I'm gonna use that adjective. He takes a Vader, and I like that.
Yeah.
Would that not have been Charlotte's pay-per-view debut as well? Was she not there in some capacity when they're all...
Yes, as a child. Yeah, the house. Yeah, when he goes to get him in the... And
say, Rick, Gene beats the family, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And Ric Flair is always so over the top, you know, and that's what you love about him and his promos, and he's fucking crazy. But then when Mean Gene goes to his house, he's just very somber. And he's just very selling it. Like, look, if I have to go in here and die in this match, then that's what's going to happen. And it's just wonderful. I love it so much. And the next one I know that everybody's going to hate, and whatever, I don't give a shit. It is Hogan versus the Giant at the Monster Truck at Halloween Havoc 1995.
Are you picking the whole thing, the Monster Truck and the match?
Yeah, both. All the same thing. Because you can't have one without the other, right? So they go on the roof, and they fight with monster trucks. And I'm sorry, that's great. Thank you for that booking. And then Hogan throws the Giant off the top of the building. So imagine our surprise when Giant shows up later to wrestle.
He's not
born Giant.
The Yeti is there as well. Tell me y'all don't love that match. Come on.
If you were you always hear, what would you show some a non wrestling fan? Something that would, you know,
hook them.
Hook them, yeah. This probably isn't that. Because if you're explaining it, you've got a guy who's meant to be the love child of Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan having a sumo match, but not having a sumo match with their bodies, with monster trucks on the roof of an arena. One commits manslaughter by throwing him off the side. He then comes back bone dry. Because he might have fallen on concrete, he might have fallen in a river, who knows? He then comes back to face Hulk Hogan again, wins the title, proceeds to have to dry hump him with a man dressed as a mummy.
It's perfect.
Think about, how do you explain that?
Callum, let me tell you that this show was the second that I had watched after another show when my friends were trying to get me into wrestling. They're like, okay, you liked this, so let's watch this. So this show, Halloween Havoc 95, is what got one of the ones that got me started on all of this. So I would definitely show it to a non-wrestling fan.
It's certainly memorable.
Havoc 95 is just demented. The whole show, demented.
It's insane.
It's the thing. It's the show that I think finally broke Bobby. Like he was having a decent time, and then he was having an alright time. Getting a paycheck. Guy's got to get paid. You know, I've got nothing against him for that. And then he goes, what side did he fall off? And then Bischoff just off the cuff goes, well, he's either fallen on concrete or fallen in the river. And you just see Bobby's face going, fuck you. God. Just fuck you, you Ken doll wannabe cunt.
Despite all of that, Bobby tries though, saying things he can't get his mind on the other matches. He's almost the only person trying to take it seriously as well, bless him. The giant could actually have been second degree murdered live on pay-per-view. He's the only person who appears to be even entertaining that possibility.
Oh, by the way, this might have happened, guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he might be dead. And Hulk Hogan comes out for the thingy. Like, you know, not a care in the world. Why is there no police? It should be arrested.
Look at you with your logic. Well, logic. I'll have none of that.
Logic, Halloween Havoc 95.
look at my logic. 14 and a half minutes before an alleged thawed mummy comes down the ring side.
When the mummy is not the worst, most indecipherable thing in this match.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right, and so our live watch choice and my favorite match of all time, Dustin Rhodes versus Blacktop Bully, King of the Road match, uncensored. To the surprise of absolutely no one.
This will be the first time that I've seen this match that's not in highlighted form. I cannot wait.
Here we go.
So, I've fired up Uncensored 95 and I've clicked on the wee thing that says King of the Road match.
I've got a timestamp for everybody, all our listeners too.
Okay.
The best place for me to start on this one, Uncensored 95, I've got it at 03:05. It's the first match, 03:05, because of course it starts on the video wall behind our commentary team of Tony, Bobby and Mike Tenay.
Ah.
Perfect choice for this sort of match.
So. Well, Mike makes his exit pretty quickly. So.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Mike is basically Gene for the night because Gene's having an operation, I think.
Yeah, a kidney or some shit.
Yeah.
This match just screams Mike Tenay, though, doesn't it? This one.
No. This match screams Bobby.
It does indeed. And I will be the one doing some screaming for the next 15
yes!
minutes.
Yes.
Tony looks so serious there. Look at him.
He's trying.
A study in concentration.
Are we all ready to go?
I think Jenny's got to count us in, but yeah.
Yes, I think 3-0 so.
Fight.
All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, play. Yes. I'm so happy. I'm watching this for the second time today. Bobby's like, what the fuck?
Dustin has come dressed the party. There we go. I'll give him that.
Yeah, yes.
Would you like to explain the rules to everybody, Jen?
The rules are, there are no rules. No, you can't bleed, number one. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry about that.
See about that, yeah.
They're in the back of a semi-truck in a trailer bed thing with, there's a horn mounted up by the cab, so they have to fight each other, and the first one that blows the horn wins. But they have to navigate through all these piles of hay, and other nonsense, ropes, a bucket of slop at one point. It has everything.
We just had our first bull shot of the match. Yes. We'll keep a tab on them as we go in.
And so they're being flanked by 14 police vehicles. There's a fucking helicopter filming it from overhead, which I love. There's a cameraman in the back of a truck kind of going along beside them. It looks fantastic. And this truck is just hauling ass. Like, he barely slows down for the turns and the curves in the road in the backwoods of Tupelo, Mississippi.
I have to say as well, back in my younger Mark days. So I knew that Dustin was Goldust, and I got that almost straight away. But I never got the connection with Barry Darso and the whole Blacktop Bully Repo Man smash. That never quantified for me. I don't know why.
I was just about to ask if that was Barry Darso or not, because I've never.
Yep. Does this that change your opinion of the match at all?
Not so far, although right at the start, Dustin Rhodes seemingly forgot how to climb.
Yes. But see, it's very difficult because they're moving very fast. I just think this is genius. I just think that this is so there's never been anything else like this.
Somebody had this idea.
It's great. What if you saw this? What if this drove by you? Would your mind not be blown?
But hay can be very abrasive, though, so you've got to watch it.
Yeah, look.
Pile driver onto the hay. There we go.
Pile driver on the hay. While it's moving, he pulls off the power. I mean, come on. Tell me that's not talent. Kicked him right in his face.
Wow, this is the drop kick there.
This is I love he throws some random shit at him. We can't even see what it is. And I even had the commentary muted, which is a fucking travesty here because Bobby is just on fire making fun of everything.
Bobby is loving life.
Yes. Or hating it. But I'm loving it.
Right, to be fair, that hay bale must weigh a ton. That would hurt.
It does. A 70-pound bale of hay, apparently.
That's expensive.
And then later on, he calls the trailers, the mobile homes that they drive by, Mississippi condos, and it takes me out every single time.
I mean, how many roads must they have closed off to do this as well? Logistics of it.
I love the logistics. I love thinking about the logistics of it. Somebody having to map this out. And they're speedy. Look at how fast he's going.
Oh, they are motoring.
Yeah.
I'm impressed they managed to stay upright at any point. I genuinely am.
Yeah, if they were going slow, I would not be as impressed. But the speed on this thing is what drives me crazy about it. I can't help it.
But imagine that phone call to the police or the highways agency going, can you close this road? Why? Well, let me tell you about this.
We had this idea.
We need helicopters. We need cars.
We need police escort. There goes the bucket of slop. And then boom.
I mean, there's at least four cars behind them. Just on that wide shot.
Look at how he takes that turn. Zooming. Didn't even stop. Didn't even slow down. Amazing.
That one fine. Look at that. He's on the verge there.
This truck driver, low-key MVP of the show.
He's got all these people in the back of his truck. Two of them who are fighting. One of them who's holding a camera, which must be a couple of $1,000. And he's going round that corner one-handed.
Yes. How badass is that? And they're really going for it. I'm believing what's happening. Rory, you have been very quiet thus far.
I have been, yes, because it speaks volumes, I think. This is not the first time I've seen this match, actually. I did watch Uncensored 95 in full not long ago. Of my own choice as well. I didn't have my eyelids prized open or anything. I actually sat down and watched it myself.
Mm-hmm. I think this, yes. this is definitely in the category of better than it has any right to be.
I love you for that. I'm turning people around on this, okay? I'm a social influencer.
She is.
Nice one there, Darcy. He just cut a flip as he was obviously very close to the horn and probably closer than he should have been, so he just threw himself off, as you would. With a shot there, yeah.
This is as slow as they get at this turn right here.
Oh, God, that's 90 degrees. Look at that. They're doing everything they can possibly do in this situation. I will give them that.
And then Dustin gets fired for this match.
He does.
So because I take it, are they using this camera for the very, very back because they're bleeding?
Yes. He's bleeding now, so.
Very clever editing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, they both get fired, don't they, for
yeah,
it?
They do.
As does the agent for this match, Mike Graham. Mm-hmm. He actually brought the blades with him to
just
this
like
open road. Now, they all got the boot.
I thought, I remember the agent got it. I thought it was Terry Taylor. I just thought they were using an excuse to fire Terry Taylor.
No excuse required. This is fine.
No.
Yeah, Mike Graham. But hey, he got his moment in the sun. On the...
Does anybody in wrestling have a good word to say about Terry Taylor? Because I ever hear, every one of these talking head things, like nobody ever said anything good about him.
Because he's trash.
Well, Terry Taylor has a high opinion of Terry Taylor.
Does. And this is, you know, this is before Jenny weighed in with tampon head or whatever
tampon
she calls
head,
it.
Yeah.
Tampon head.
I'm just shocked nobody's made that comparison before I did.
It's accurate, make no mistake.
Yeah.
Like you say, he's a social influencer.
Apparently, in small doses. I just wish we could see more of the blood. That's my only.
Up and long shot again, you see. And there's those houses. There they go.
Yeah.
That makes
a beautiful
that
section
head.
Of Tupelo right there. 18 house trailers. Condos, huh? Mississippi condos.
Could you imagine them people just being outside doing something? They're like, what's going on here?
That's where Elvis lives, him and his 14 brothers-in-law. Tony said, give me a break.
Oh, Poppy.
Oh, I loved him.
Why is this blonde-haired guy being beaten up by Jimmy Greaves?
It doesn't matter.
You won't get that right, Shani, don't worry.
That's our one old football reference in for the show.
We're allowed at least one.
Every time I watch this, I keep waiting to... not like it somewhere. Like, I'm like, eventually I'll come to my senses when it comes to this. Every single watch, I'm just always all about it.
So it's the second time you've watched it today?
Yes.
I'm surprised it's only the second, actually, Jenny.
Well, yeah.
Every hour on the hour would
I should
be my
just put it on the loop.
The truck has actually come to a stop here.
Yeah, they're actually stopping. And
that's
so the rest of
stop to give way to the
then
it gets smashed. They're just still keeping going.
So they're actually waiting to get back onto the main road.
Yeah. Well, the school bus had to go by.
Yeah, there we
church,
go. Yeah.
Church bus.
Oh,
and then the microwave interference. I always wondered where the fuck he pulled that out of.
So there's two things that get microwave interference in the 1990s, the OJ calf chase and King of the Road 1995.
Yes.
Just imagine if somebody brought this back.
I want them to bring it back so bad. I think AEW could do it.
I just
definitely.
Exactly the same.
But could they not do it? Like, this is the perfect opportunity. Whilst everyone's isolating, the roads will be quiet.
Yes! Listen! Callum knows what he's talking about! I agree 100%. Do it.
Look at that. He's actually, that cannot have been fun. Look at Darcel there. He's just on top of a fucking truck.
It's amazing. Like,
credit where credit is due.
Yeah, that could have gone horribly wrong.
Yes.
Back to the microwave interference.
Yes.
Oh, Darcel's trying to get the horn here.
Did he get the horn here?
He's about to. Poor Dustin.
Here
he is just...
Here we go.
His shirt's all torn. He's wailing on
him. Hey, waving away now, why not? For the lack of anything else to do, just piling the lefts and rights, why not?
If they ever bring back the Hidden Gems section, this, no pun intended, the uncensored version of this match, where you see all the blood would be
yes.
A good one to have.
Oh, I would die.
Yeah, the raw footage that
out there somewhere.
Out there somewhere.
It will be. Yeah.
Oh God, I would give many blowjobs for that. To bury Darcel himself.
Kevin Dunn, if you're listening.
Yep. Hook a girl up.
The girl has needs.
Oh, God.
This match is utterly ridiculous.
Yep.
Oh, Lucha Darcel there. I tell you what, he's living it.
Lucha Darcel.
Again, rolls off the tongue. Go on, Baz and myself.
He forgot how to climb things. Look at him.
Yeah, he can do a springboard off of a pole that's 3 foot in the air, but
he's right above his head. He's just going to climb onto the side again. He's enjoying that, really, you know.
Oh, Dustin, are you going to get it?
Wind in his hair. There we go. Now getting the battle. Okay, that is very well shot. That's some good camera work there.
Beautiful.
Complete with the police car in the background as well.
Yes. Reach it, Dustin, reach it.
Appropriately enough. Maybe he'll win it this time, Jenny. Go on, Dustin, go on.
I perform every time.
Best slow ladder match climbing.
Oh no, it's over. The blacktop bully has prevailed.
Well, that's because the blacktop bully was going towards it. Because when Dustin was reaching out, he was leaning back as well. He doesn't clearly know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And now we start the fireworks.
Oh my God, so beautiful.
As if you watched it twice already.
Love it.
At least once more before she goes to bed tonight.
It makes me so happy. Like, it's unbelievable.
More than likely in bed as well.
Probably, yeah. And then I had to stop earlier. I was like, I really want to see this martial arts match with noted martial artist Hacksaw Jim.
Maybe we could do a full uncensored 95 one day.
Oh.
Today is not that day.
No, it's not.
Today is not that day.
Well, one day maybe we could.
Well, thank you for humoring me with that match.
That could be the Christmas special this year.
Yes.
Great pick, Jack. Safe to say that will not be coming up again anytime soon. So.
You mean you're not picking it?
I would have done. Stole it from me.
Thank you, that was amazing.
Absolutely. It makes you happy. And at the end of the day, is that not what pro wrestling should be about?
I agree.
Absolutely.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Excellent and interesting and some downright absurd, but wonderfully absurd choices there. So that was this episode's visit to the happy place. So, excellent. I'm still a bit overwhelmed at that match. I might need to watch it again myself.
It takes you a minute, like, you know, to recover. Because you shoot your load, right? And it's just like, you need some refractory time after that.
And you were piling on me for me talking about the pillow fight match at WrestleMania 22.
I mean, I was going to say, I don't want to be too crass, but I'm certainly feeling like Rory when the WrestleMania 22 comes on.
Yeah. Then you're going right into an Arn Anderson promo right here with Colonel Parker. No, get no sick of hearing that.
We've already revealed our deepest Colonel Parker feelings.
All the way back in episode number one. Go back into the archives and hear what the so much fun we had reviewing Fall Brawl 1994.
In mid-90s WCW becoming quite a touchstone for our special relationship.
Good.
And no bad thing.
Not at all. You can always
only slightly gritted teeth and only crossing the fingers on one of his hands.
what have we done? 4 or 5 live watches so far, and we've had 3 mid-90s WCW matches.
What does that tell you? Y'all got good taste.
We try.
Well, no, I think last month was just you were playing a joke because it involved Brian Knobbs bending over.
I don't know what joke you're talking about.
I did tell you all that match was amazing, though.
That was a very good match, to be fair. So, now that it is after midnight here, I think there is a family across the water who's needing fed. So I think we should probably call it a night.
Oh, I agree.
Gotta get out the old slop pail. So yeah.
Considering we've now taken up most of your evening as well, Jenny. So, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. No, I had a blast. Thanks so much.
Our pleasure, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny. I take it you don't have much to plug, no podcast feeds or anything, Jenny. No, you're.
Got a couple shows here on the wrestling feed. Jenny and the Gems, we just did the March to WrestleMania 9, like I mentioned. PTB NXT, number 3, we did TV from February of 2004 for NXT. And I will probably end up on some WrestleMania reaction show called Chain Reaction. Still up in the air about whether I'm going to do that one or not. We'll see if I have the heart for it. And then of course my feed, and you can find me on Twitter at Jenny Position and my Facebook page, The Jenny Position. Leave a review and a star rating if you want to, but 5 stars only, please. And thank you.
It's not just any Jenny Position, it is the Jenny Position.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ben, any more unpopular opinions coming from your good self?
There might be another one coming up in the next couple of weeks. Something I do want to plug just quick. It's actually come out today. I did release a column titled The Corona Diaries. It's about what I've been going through for the last 2 weeks. Give it a read if you want. It was one of them from the heart pieces rather than, you know, about any wrestling or pop culture subjects in particular. It was meant as a one-off. I might do another one. We'll see how it goes. You can reach me individually on Twitter at BenL1981. You can reach the show at PTBN Special Rel 1. I'll also plug while I'm here the fact that I did my first Latin theatre with Andy Atherton, and it was one of the a group watch, and we did She's Out of My League. With the wonderful Jenny, I did Freak Out Driving, and we did the classic Shaun of the Dead. So not really a horror film, more of a comedy than a horror, but it worked.
It did.
And hopefully you can consider this show and all of Place to Be Nation feeds and the Jenny Position, obviously, the Winchester. Yes. Come to see, come and visit the Winchester and let this one blow over.
Absolutely.
Rory, the legend that is Rory. Anything to plug on your end, good sir?
That'll be me then. Yes, here on the Price to Be Nation wrestling feed, should be dropping 2 days from now when this one goes live. Brand new show by the name of Seen Your Video, in which I trawl my way through the home video classic section of the WWE Network. Callum, you joined me for episode 1, where we looked at UK Rampage 93. Mr. Ben Locke, I have you on the lock and key for episode 2, where we might as well tell everybody now, we will be looking at, as you chose, Smack 'em Whack 'em. So everybody, watch out for those two shows. Best place to reach me is indeed our own Twitter page for Special Relations. One more time, that is PTBN Special Rel 1. Just mention me in your comments and I will get back to you.
Excellent stuff. Well, other than the Special Relations, I have nothing to plug. I have recently been on the I was involved in the comment section of the recent live main event. I was called in and stayed silent to the live Jenny position.
Well done, Douglas.
Because you were talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, my only thing, only contribution to that was that we did call it something different over here.
You did talk a little bit on that one.
I did. And Tim loved it, so I mean, who?
Yeah.
So.
Jenny's crushing of the main event when they were trying to be all serious about WrestleMania might be one of the greatest things I've ever heard, if you haven't heard that episode yet.
Oh, the main event?
Yeah. Yeah. We better put her on. She keeps ringing.
And then I came in there and I said something about fuck a Roman Reigns and some shit like that. Like, I don't give a fuck about Roman Reigns. The unpopular opinion, probably.
The three of us, your Special Relations comrades, also did a live podcast that may or may not come to you in the near future, because I've just remembered that I have to give Rory the download of it, and we also need to be given permission to put it on. So, in that one, we watched the September 22nd Raw as War live from Madison Square Garden, which was excellent. It was a consensus.
Hot take, it still holds up.
Yeah, it was a consensus. Oh, excellent. Excellent show on there. You can find me on the Twitter at Callum7McDougall. I also have access to PTBN Special Rail 1. If you want to get in contact with us either way, or us or myself either way, feel free to do it. If you just want to have a chat, because let's be honest, the times just now aren't great. You're feeling a bit isolated, being all serious here. If you are wanting to just shoot the shit, as they say, get in touch. There's absolutely nothing stopping you from doing that. And other than that, just stay safe. So, from myself and the boys and our wonderful guest, Jenny, I have been... the good lady's favourite podcaster. I found myself a nickname. I am the good lady's favourite podcaster. Thank you very much for listening.